sand or something in my shoes. I think that would help me. I hear all the time from the people at First Church, you just gotta, Pastor Earl tells me, brother, it's like you're dancing up there on the platform. I get excited. I get passionate about what God's doing. Well, this evening we're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at spiritual gifts and what that means for the body of Christ. I believe this summer the theme is kind of the body of Christ, and certainly right after that spiritual gift passage is the body of Christ. And so I thought, let's look at the preface of that. What is this talking about here? Paul talking about in spiritual gifts and that type of stuff. So if you join with me, 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be uninformed. I think it's interesting that right there, the very first verse, as Paul begins to describe spiritual gifts, he uses this word there at the end, uninformed. Uninformed. Because I think if we're honest, some of us are a little uninformed about what spiritual gifts really are. A matter of fact, I was doing some research this week and just looking at some various articles and research. One of the research articles actually stated that 87% of Christians do not know or use their spiritual gift. 87% do not know or use their spiritual gift. That got me thinking. I gotta move. I can't do it. It got me thinking a little bit. It just really did. I began to think, because you look at that and you go, that is such a horrible statistic. 87% of Christians don't use their spiritual gift. Oh my goodness. And then I got thinking, what about all the gifts I... You know, remember when you're younger and you got the Christmas gift and you were so excited to open it and you opened it up and you played with it for like a week? Or maybe a month or 2 months if you're really excited about it. And then all of a sudden it just became like another toy on the shelf. Right? Does anybody ever... I remember when I think it was like third grade, my parents and grandparents probably spent more time building it than the time I actually played it. They had this huge plywood and they had built this model railroad set. And I had the model railroad thing going on. And I was so excited. And I played with it all at Christmas break. And then January rolled around, I was like, ah, I guess I can play with it. They probably spent like 60 hours putting that together, and I only played it for probably 40 in reality. It gets me also thinking about just different things in our lives. You know, like if you were to give me a gift of like a guitar, like a really, I know we got musical people here, like a Fender Strato, whatever they're called, Stratocaster, they're really cool guitars that are worth hundreds of dollars. And you were to give that to me, and let's say I was younger, and I was like, wow, thank you so much for this guitar. I'm going to hang it. I'm going to get a guitar hook, and I'm going to hang it on my wall. And it's just going to sit there, right? Is that the purpose of the guitar? No, the purpose is to use it, to play it, to learn it, to do these things. And you think about the gifts that we're going to read about here in just a moment that God has given us. As Christians, as followers of Him, these spiritual gifts, and what many of us do, we put them up on a shelf. Or we put them up on the wall. And we kind of look at them and go, ah, I got that really neat gift, but I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use it. And so that's what we begin to do. That's what we begin to do. You guys, your Father has given you a gift that continues for some of us to be hidden and unused. We're going to skip down here to verse 4. It says, continuing on. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but in the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to the other... or to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. And here's what I think. When we read through these gifts, we're going to look at Romans as Romans describes them a little bit broader and more detailed in a sense. But what I think about when I have these gifts that God has given me to be used for the kingdom of God, there is nothing greater than Satan, who wants me to just put it on the shelf. Satan just says, you know, Matt, just put that on the shelf. You don't need to use that gift. You know what? Other people are using that gift. Why don't... Because that's what we do sometimes. We go, this person's using this gift, or that person's using this gift. And we tend to do that. We tend to do that. What I want to do this evening is I want to expose to you a couple of lists of spiritual gifts. The first list we're going to look at is spiritual gifts of what they're not, or misconceptions that we have of spiritual gifts. So if you want to follow along and take notes, I think there's room on the back of your bulletin there. Here's the first thing. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. They are not natural talents. Now, we get this confused oftentimes. Natural talents are different from spiritual gifts. When you were born naturally, God gives us natural talents. You may be naturally gifted to sing and dance. I'm not, but you might be. Or naturally good with numbers. Or naturally good with whatever natural talents. You might be naturally good at sports. Maybe it just comes easy to you. You did all the sports leagues and you were successful in middle school and high school. You had these natural talents. When you're spiritually born, you were given spiritual gifts. And they are different from your natural talents. You can not only receive spiritual gifts when you're spiritually born, but God can continue to give you more spiritual gifts throughout your Christian walk. And your spiritual gifts at times can complement your natural gifts. God can use all of them collectively for the kingdom. But there's a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. Here's the second, I think, misconception. That spiritual gifts are given to the elite few. That spiritual gifts are given to the elite few. God doesn't say, okay. I'm going to take this group of Christians right here that I really like, and I'm going to give these guys in this section really powerful spiritual gifts, okay? And the rest of you that are on the pews, not cool spiritual gifts, sorry. You're just getting the leftover spiritual gifts. You know? And we think through that. We think, oh man, some of these spiritual gifts that we read, they're just given to the elite few. That's another misconception. They're given to all of us who are Christ followers. They're given to all of us. Here's the third thing. Spiritual gifts are not signs of spiritual maturity. If you have a certain gift, it doesn't mean you are more mature than someone who has a different gift. Are we not a society now of like the top 10 lists, right? We love, you look on Facebook, social media, the internet, whatever it is, TV. We have the top 10 lists of this or that. Top 10 who wore it best. Top 10 best teams. Top 10 best music. Top 10 this or that. And I think part of that culturally has seeped into a little bit of how we view spiritual gifts. I really do. I think for some of us, we begin to rank spiritual gifts. And nowhere in Scripture does it give a ranking of spiritual gifts. We do this. We get in this mindset of saying, oh, this person, they have a spiritual gift of wisdom. So, I mean, that's got to be way up there. I just have a spiritual gift of serving. So, I'm kind of behind the scenes, and I like to serve, and I like to, I don't really showy. I'm not an upfront person. I'd rather punch numbers on the keyboard here, get the PowerPoint going. You know, if I could, I'd rather actually be further back, but they make me sit right here for the PowerPoint. Why is he talking about me? This guy, I didn't know I'd be part of the message tonight. But we do that with spiritual gifts. I think for some of us, and as Christ followers, we do that. We begin to rank them. And that is just so much dysfunction in the body of Christ when that begins to occur. Because it's not about ranking of spiritual gifts. It's about us, once again, using those spiritual gifts to advance the kingdom of God. If all we're going to do is rank things and go, well, this gift is a higher gift than that, and That's not what it's about. It's not a sign of spiritual maturity to say, well, I have a certain gift, and if you don't, that means I'm more mature than you. But sadly, like I said, a lot of us today, we elevate certain gifts to a higher level. We really do. And here's number four. Spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. They are not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are different from spiritual gifts. Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Check them out. There are nine of them. Like I said, if I could do the silly song, I could do the song. Because there's a song with them of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And sometimes Christians will say, well, I just don't have the gift of love. Or I don't have the fruit of the Spirit of patience. First of all, they're not gifts, they're fruits. And all believers should exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. But all believers do not have all of the same gifts. They're two different things. Finally, number five, and then we'll get to a broader definition of spiritual gifts. Finally, if you're taking notes, number five, spiritual gifts are not something to fear. They're not something to fear. They're not something that's odd or creepy. Although I admit it sometimes, if you watch like TBN or Christian TV and you're watching like Benny Hinn heal 100 people and everybody's passing out left and right, you know, that's a little bit odd. That's a little bit weird and strange. And I'm just looking at it from this picture of watching the TV going, I mean, it is. I could see how people get this viewpoint that, man, that's just different. I've never seen that with spiritual gifts. I mean, it just seems odd. All of a sudden, these people are there and boom, they're knocked out. Boom, they fall down. And you go, man, you know, if God wanted to knock somebody out, could he? Absolutely. Yeah, he could. Absolutely. And then we get into kind of this term, you're watching these things and you hear this term emotionalism. And maybe it's the power of suggestion or expectations and such, and it doesn't make it real. But sometimes you might go, you know what, these gifts seem strange. They seem strange how they're being used. But it doesn't mean that spiritual gifts are strange. These are gifts given by God for the believer to make a difference in the world. So what I want to do for the rest of our time is I want to look at two dominant verses, two portions of Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. And there are four different lists, and we're going to look at two dominant ones tonight. And the first one is found in Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, if you want to turn there with me. Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says in Romans, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. I love that right there. Use the gift. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving the one who teaches, and is teaching the one who exhorts, and his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The Bible says it right there. In His grace, God has given us, believers, different gifts for doing certain things well. And then He lists off in Romans seven different gifts. He says, first of all, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. You might say, well, what is the gift of prophecy? It's the ability to speak on God's behalf. God has given this spiritual gift of prophecy. In fact, some people would say maybe preaching, certain elements of preaching could be considered prophecy. It's declaring on behalf of God. Others would say it'd be more direct. Either way, it's speaking boldly on what God has put on your heart. The second one listed there, the Bible goes on in verse 7, it says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. Some of us here have the spiritual gift of serving. The idea of doing something for someone else. Especially when they don't know about it. And it just thrills your little heart. You think about here. I think John mentioned tonight. I go, oh, it looks like a different setup. And he goes, well, it is. And we got to tear down tonight. That's the gift of serving. Man, we've got all these chairs here. We've got to bust down all this stuff. That's the gift of serving. You think of other areas. How can you serve? You know, I just think of calling up somebody. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe they're not even a Christ follower. And saying, man, I notice you're going through a hard time. I want to clean your house for you. Or you know what? I know you've been working a ton of hours. I want to babysit your kids for free so you and your wife can go out on a date. That's the gift of serving. It's the gift of serving. The Bible goes on to say, if you're a teacher, teach well. Teach well. Some of you have the gift of teaching God's word. You can't read anything. You know, you read something, you're like, I've just got to tell somebody. You're like, oh my gosh, here's the Greek word and let me get to the root of it. You know, you're getting into all this stuff and you do all this study and you use this gift of teaching to teach God's word in the church. If you read on, the Bible says, if your gift is encouraging, encourage one another. God has given you some of the spiritual gift of encouragement. That's why we pass around a card. Because somebody says, you know what? My gift is to be an encouragement to someone else. And I want to use that gift and I want people to... But somebody had to think of that idea. It doesn't just happen out of blue sky, out of thin air. It's somebody that says, man, I have this heart. This is who God has made me. I have this gift of encouragement. Anytime you see something done well, you want to encourage the people. You want to encourage them. Send them a text. Write them a letter. Call them. One of the things I love to do is encourage and enable leaders. We just got done with VBS at our church. And this morning what I did is I just thanked people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to be an encouragement to you because you were here. You spent time in your evenings where you could have been at home, probably sitting in your air conditioning, relaxing after a long day of work. But you came out because you have a heart for God and you want to see the kingdom advanced. I want to keep encouraging you. I want you to be encouraged. Be an encourager. And this is an important spiritual gift. Be an encouragement. The next says, if your gift is giving, give generously. Give of your time. Give of your time. It's not just talking about money. We get stuck on that. That's part of it. But it's giving generously of your time, of things that God has blessed you with, of your car, of your house. Give generously. Give generously. Most of the world does not have these things that we have been blessed with. Give. Give generously. The Bible goes on to say, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Take it seriously. Many of you, if you have the gift to lead, if you're not leading anything in the church, once again, the guitar is hidden. Your gift is hidden. You are not using the gift that God has given you to minister to other people. So how do you know which gift that you have? I mean, we could take surveys and, oh man, you could go home tonight and Google on the internet and there would probably be like 50 different surveys that pop up and there's probably a curriculum that you could find and I could help you and John here can help you. We won't have Pastor John help you because he's on sabbatical. But there's curriculum and there's that. But I kind of think of just a simple illustration. A simple illustration, and I think I like to call it, I call it the apple pie illustration, okay? Imagine you're at a table, and we had apple, I should have brought an apple pie tonight, it would have really sold the illustration. I know, look at you guys, I didn't bring a lot of apple pie. You've got this apple pie, and they're at a table, and everybody's got their apple pie, and the apple pie is right on the edge of the table, right on the plate on the edge of the table, and it's about to drop. And a matter of fact, it does drop into the lap of this person that you're sitting right next to. So we're going to play along here. This is kind of a silly way to look and determine your gifts, but I like the illustration, so we're going to run with it. So how do you know what kind of gifts you have? If you're the type of person, you're sitting at the table, and you see the apple pie begin to fall, and even before it's falling, you thought, I need to tell this person right now, before the event occurs, that their apple pie is in a very precarious position on their plate. And there's a high chance that it could fall. You might have the gift of prophecy. You might have the gift of prophecy. Maybe the apple pie, like I said in the illustration, it does fall. And your immediate reaction is not to laugh at them. That is not a spiritual gift, by the way. Your reaction is to immediately grab napkins and you start cleaning the person, or you dip, you know, get it in the water, or you've got one of those Tide remove stick things or whatever they're called. My wife has those little things and they start cleaning you up. Oh man, let me help you out. Here's a napkin. Let me wipe you down. Let's get this taken care of. You might have the spiritual gift of serving. You're serving. Some of you might say, you know what? I saw the apple pie fall, and I've got to tell you, I have researched this. I've been waiting for this moment in my life. And really, I've got to tell you, there is a better way to eat an apple pie. And I've actually got a PowerPoint of 4 steps on how to eat an apple pie. You might have the spiritual gift of teaching. You might be a teacher. Some of you might go, oh man, I feel for you. I know what I, you know, this has happened to me one time. I had apple pie and it fell on me. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Watch this. And you grab your apple pie and you go, and you throw it on yourself. You might have the gift of encouragement because you are now one with your brother or sister in Christ. You have taken your apple pie and put it on your pants. You might have the gift of encouragement. Or maybe you say, this would not, you can, right off the bat, Callie, no, this is not my gift. Maybe you would say, oh, here, take mine. In fact, let me put some more whipped cream on it for you. You might have the gift of giving. That's probably not my gift. I'm just going to throw that out there. Those of you who would say, maybe you would say, well, you know, we can get this thing cleaned up in no time. You go get this, you go get that. You know, I have a vision to make this apple pie better. You might have the gift of leadership. You might have the gift of leadership. And maybe there's some of you that would say, oh man, my heart sinks. When it was falling into your lap, I was hurting for you and with you. And I'm just so devastated you are going through this right now. I can barely even do this because I don't sell this one well because I don't have very good mercy. But I'd be the type of person to be laughing. So this would not be my gift. If your gift is like that, maybe you have the gift of showing mercy or kindness. And these are gifts, and it's a fun illustration. Like I said, there's probably better textbooks and like real books on spiritual gift assessment that you can use. But I kind of like my apple pie illustration. It's just kind of a fun one that kind of gets you thinking a little bit. How would I react in that scenario? And it kind of does lend to what your spiritual gift is a little bit. We'll continue on though. And these are gifts that God has given for each of us to be used in the church. To minister to other believers, to minister to the world around us, to the Klamath Basin here. And quite honestly, many of us, we're unsure of what our spiritual gift is. Or we might know what it is, but we keep it hidden. We keep it hidden. Unused. Unused. We already looked at the other list in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and the Bible says there, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Some of you, people come to you often because you give great wisdom in circumstances. It's like you're tapped into this different level of wisdom. It doesn't mean that like you're high intellect or you're book smart. You're wise when it comes to making decisions and life choices. And people come to you. And you should be leading and investing in others. You should be mentoring. You should be available. You should be using this at your workplace. This is a gift that God has given you. Bible goes on to say in verse 9 of Corinthians, the same Spirit gives greater faith to another, not to everybody, but to some. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing, the gift of faith, and the gift of healing. To have this gift of healing, this gift of great faith. once again, we have to use it. I'll be honest, I tend to be, it sounds bad, my wife has such a gift of faith. And I tend to, I have faith, but I tend to become very pragmatic at times in my faith and realistic. And so even when we moved down here in January and God laid on Callie's heart, hey, let's do a VBS at First Church. And I went to the first board meeting and I said, I think we want to do a VBS. Well, we haven't done that in years, Pastor. I don't know if, will there even be any kids that show up? Will we even have any workers? And I went home and I told Callie, I said, oh, Callie, I think this is a no-go. I mean, this is going to bomb. There's no workers, there's no kids. And I started getting this realistic version of VBS in my mind, of just Callie and I there doing the motions to the songs of VBS, and we're looking at each other and there's no kids there. And Callie goes, what are you talking about? We're doing VBS. There's power. We sang that song, there's the power in the name of Jesus. And I had to be reminded of that. I don't serve a small God. I serve the great I am. That's who I serve. There is power. And it doesn't matter how many kids showed up. But you know, we had a ton of workers. And we did have a great amount of kids that came. And that's God's faithfulness. And it builds my faith. It builds my faith. There is power. There is power. For some of us, we have that great faith. God gives us this vision of this ministry. And we say, you know what, God? I want to take this ministry to Westside, or I want to take this ministry in my neighborhood, whatever it may be. Don't waste it. Don't waste on it. Don't go, you know what, man, Lord, I want to do this or that, and I have the gifts and abilities to accomplish it, but you know what, I'm just going to keep it hidden away. Hidden away. I don't want to use my gifts. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to hide and not use our gifts. Verse 10 says, the Holy Spirit, He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Some of you can just go, I know there's something not right here. How will I know if this is a gift? It's a gift of discernment. It's a gift of discernment. Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, speaking in tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I had this opportunity after service today to sit down with some Spanish folk and listen to them discuss some things and some struggles that they're having. And I got to tell you, I took 2 years of Espanol in high school and I didn't do very well. But I'm sitting there, and even as they're talking, the Spirit is leading in me. I understand a little bit of what they're trying to get across. I couldn't translate it completely, but I understood enough that as they were speaking, I can understand how the disagreement that was taking place and how I could bring in encouragement and bring in forgiveness and steer them towards what God wanted for their life, and not this anger and frustration that was building. Verse 11, the Bible says, it is the one and only Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Pneuma, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides what gift each person should have. Each person should have. So how do you discover gifts? I think the first way, study the Bible. Study what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at Romans 12. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at 1 Peter 4. Read those chapters. Study them. Look at God's Word. Second thing I think is ask God to show you your gifts. God, what gifts have you given me? And you know, watch as He does that. Watch as He does that. And then ask Him, where do you want me to use these gifts, Lord? How do you want me to use these gifts to make a difference in the kingdom of God? I think the third thing is examine what you enjoy and do well. See, with spiritual gifts, I don't think God's calling us and giving us a spiritual gift and we're going, oh man, He's given me the gift of serving. Oh, I can't. I just, I, I don't like serving. I don't think, I think where you find your gifts is where you're going to find your passion. And so if serving is your spiritual gift, you are going to be passionate when it comes to serving. That's how God works. That's how God works. The fourth thing, you can take a spiritual gift test. You can use the apple pie illustration. That's free. And the fifth thing, most importantly, do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. God has given us spiritual gifts. Use them. Use them for the body of Christ. Don't. My very first membership class, Bill Bowers, Olympia First Church of the Nazarene, talking about spiritual gifts, in the membership booklet says, don't, it's quoted, so I won't get in trouble. It's Bill Bowers who will get in trouble. Don't sit on your assets. Don't sit on your assets. God has given us spiritual gifts. Don't sit on those things. Use them for the kingdom of God. Each and every single one of us in here who has accepted Christ and is a Christ follower has a spiritual gift. And you can use that not just in this local congregation. I'm sure Pastor John would love it. You can use your gifts here, certainly, but you can also use them away from here. You can use them in your neighborhood, in your community, at your workplace. The key is, don't be 87% of Christians who are just kind of sitting on the sidelines and going, well, there's four or five good workers here. I mean, I don't have a part to play. I mean, he runs the PowerPoint, so I clearly don't need to. You know what? I guarantee you, if there were six people that ran PowerPoint, we'd put you on a rotation here. If there was 50 people that wanted to put away chairs, they'd make it happen. They would make it happen. That's the beautiful thing. That is the beautiful thing. And so I just want to be an encouragement to you all. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste them. Advance the kingdom of God. God will use those gifts to grow this church, to grow this community for Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we give you thanks that you do graciously give us all spiritual gifts. God, that are useful to advance the kingdom of God. You build us, each and every one of us up, God. And Lord, I pray for those brothers and sisters here tonight. And maybe there's some kids here, some teenagers here thinking, oh, this must just be an adult thing. Like you have to be like 18 or 21 to get the spiritual gifts. Nope. God, you give us all spiritual gifts. It doesn't matter an age range. It doesn't matter if we've gone to college. It doesn't matter what kind of degree we have. It doesn't matter educational level. Lord, you have graciously given each and every one of us spiritual gifts to edify, to build this community here at Westside. Lord, may we be people who don't take a guitar and hang it on the wall or remember our old Christmas presents and go, that was neat, I used it for a month or two. God, these gifts have eternal ramifications. Lord, may we use these gifts to change the course of eternity for others. Father, we want to see people change for Christ. We want to be the light. We want to be the hope. And Lord, would you use us to accomplish that with your gifts? We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.